Joe had worked in his field for several years. He liked both the work and the clients. He liked the way his work both challenged his brain and engaged his body. But there came a point where he knew that this work wouldn't change and that the challenge wouldn't increase unless he took the next step and got his license. The reality was, he and others already knew that he could do his boss's job. But the truth was that he couldn't get a promotion, he couldn't be considered a professional in his field without that license. And most days he wasn't sure what stopped him. Sure, there were classes to take, but he'd already taken some of them, and he liked to learn. Maybe it wasn't the classes that stopped him, but the test. After all, he knew that most people had to take that exam more than once before they passed. Was it uncertainty? Was it lack of confidence? Was it fear of failure? Was it that he didn't want to be just one more person who had to keep retaking that test? So he told himself that he liked being out in the field, working with his hands. He told himself he wouldn't know what to do with a desk job anyway. After all, that's what a promotion would mean. But while there was some truth in all of this, the reality was that he didn't resist taking the chance just because he loved things the way they were. He was scared to fail. He wasn't sure he was ready. But finally, he knew he was ready. Well, maybe he was ready. The truth is, his mother knew he was ready. It didn't matter how old he got or that he had a home and family of his own. She was still his mother, and she believed in him. She knew he could succeed, and she told him that all the time. Until finally, he believed her. Or maybe he got worn down by her, but either way, he took the risk and he did it. And before he knew it, he had passed the test, he had gotten his license, and a whole new world opened up for him. But Joe wasn't the first person to be influenced by his mom. Mothers, for centuries, probably since the beginning of time, have been pushing their children to take the chance to use their gifts to be who they were created to be. And in today's reading, we see that Jesus' mother was no different. Here we are in the second chapter of John. This is the gospel that begins with that beautiful prologue which tells us that the Word became flesh and moved right into our neighborhood. Then the gospel writer goes on and talks about John the Baptist, and finally, by the end of chapter 1, John the Baptist has pointed others to Jesus. Some of them have begun following him. And as other people are curious about who he is, Jesus simply replies, "Come and see." So a few people have started following him. Some people are starting to pay attention, but his public ministry has not yet begun in force. That is, not until his mama says so. Jesus, his friends, his mom, they are all at a wedding in Cana in Galilee. Weddings in the Middle East were big community affairs, often celebrations that went on for days. They were, as ours are, times of joy and hope, times when family and friends gather and wish the best for the couple. And here were Jesus and his friends and his family celebrating at the wedding of an unnamed couple when they run out of wine. We don't know why. Perhaps the turnout was better than expected. Perhaps they tried to skimp on the wine so they could pay the florist more. Perhaps they just hadn't realized how much their neighbors could drink. But running out of wine was never good for the host. Enter Mary, the mother of Jesus. See, we aren't given a lot of information. We don't know if she was the first one to notice the shortage or if everybody was talking about it. We don't know if she had a special role in this celebration or if she was just another guest, but one who happened to be paying attention. But what we do know is that she had confidence in this boy she had raised. And so when there was a problem, she went straight to Jesus and asked him to take care of it. And it's an interesting conversation. Did you listen to that conversation between Jesus and his mother? Jesus doesn't immediately jump at the chance to solve the problem. It's not, by any indication in this gospel, that he doesn't care about the wedding celebration or its hosts. It's not that he doesn't think that it's important to serve your guests well. But his objection is that it's not yet time. He isn't ready, or isn't supposed to be ready. And again, there's so much we don't know. Was this just old-fashioned nerves getting the best of him? Had God told Jesus a date when his public ministry would begin, and that date was still months or years off on the calendar? We don't know exactly why he held back, but his immediate response was simply, "But what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." Seemingly, Jesus didn't think it was time yet to show people who he was. And yet, and as a mother, I love this story because he did what his mama asked. "My hour has not yet come," said Jesus. To which Mary replied, simply by turning to the servants and saying, "Do whatever he tells you." Can't you almost envision her walking away with a little smile at the corner of her mouth, knowing that there would be wine? See, here's the thing about this story. It is easy for us, especially those of us of the mothering variety, and that's not just those with the official title of mom, but those who have nurtured and mentored and cared for and encouraged young people, it is easy for us to get caught up in the joy of watching Jesus make that next step, not just give in to his mom, but make that next step and step out and take that risk, that sometimes we forget that there's anything else to this story. Or it's easy to simply see this story as a transition into his ministry. After all, this is the first miracle, the first sign, and it is after this that we start to see more people taking notice and following him and talking about him. But as we ask so often, what does this story offer us? Other than simply pointing out another aspect of Jesus that we can sit back and admire. What does this story teach us, not only about how amazing Jesus was, but about who we who claim to follow him are called to be? Because even though I might tell my children that this story is really about how good boys do what their mamas encourage them to do, that's not actually the point, and perhaps not always the best parenting strategy either. Even though this is the first of seven signs or miracles in the Gospel of John that help people come to understand who Jesus is, that may also not be the sole purpose of this story. While John has this greater focus on Jesus' divinity than the other gospel writers, this story is about so much more than just Jesus' godliness. So what else is here for us? Let's think about this story together. First, it seems worth noting that Jesus takes time out to celebrate a wedding. While we can affirm the importance of such celebrations in their culture, we also know that there are other examples of times when people make excuses for not going to wedding celebrations. We hear some of those stories in the Gospels. But I just bought a new piece of land. But I just got married myself. I bought a new work animal. I've got to take care of it. And let's be honest, if anyone has a good excuse for not showing up at the wedding and then staying around to celebrate, isn't it Jesus? Doesn't he perhaps have more important things to do? And yet, this story takes place in the midst of the very real lives of people in his human community. And that tells us something about Jesus, about how he shows up for us. And it also tells us something about the kind of communities we are called to create as those who follow him. What would this world be like if we would slow down enough to celebrate with those who are celebrating? To grieve with those who are grieving, to pay attention to even the small joys and struggles that our neighbors are having, to create safe space for people to be real about their needs, their desires, their longings, their struggles, and their celebrations. And then there's something else in this text. When Jesus does provide a supply of wine, there is quite a conversation about the quality. I want you to hear two of these verses again, verses 9 and 10. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn it knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." I suspect we often kind of notice, but largely read past that part of the conversation. And yet, what if we pause? What if we actually remind ourselves that Jesus doesn't bring the least he can offer? He doesn't bring just enough or the lowest quality. Rather, he brings the good stuff and brings it abundantly. Again, this is something we can celebrate, that our God is not one who asks us to live in scarcity, but rather one who provides for us abundantly. And as those who claim to follow Jesus, what if we did the same? What if when someone needed a listening ear, we put down our phones and set aside our to-do lists and chose to be fully present, to give our best? What if when planning our budgets, we didn't figure out what we would share after we worked in everything we need as well as the many things we want, but what if we instead asked how we could live more simply so that we could share more abundantly? What if when we took a load to the food pantry, it wasn't only the past date, dented cans of things we once bought but aren't going to eat anyway, but what if instead we took our favorites, the best we could provide? What if we didn't give to our neighbors and our God only what was left over after our energy had been exhausted? But what if we made those things we claim as a priority to actually be a priority in our lives and even in our schedules? See, this story is about more than proclaiming Jesus' identity as the Word become flesh. This story is also a reminder about the kind of God we serve, a God who intends good for all of us, a God who wouldn't give us the least or the worst, but who is always offering the best. And this story points to who we are called to be. Those who in all things give our best and are our best, that this world might know God's love. May it be so.